Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com and our study of the double-minded man in James chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. As you listen, if you have any questions, comments, or you would like to send in a prayer request, you can email those to BBFOhio@protonmail.com. Or you can send those by mail along with any check or money order contributions made out to Bible Believers Fellowship, P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. Donations can also be made at bbfohio.com using the PayPal donation button. And we encourage you to visit that website and access the thousands of free Bible teaching videos and MP3 audio studies, including the part two conclusion of this particular study. We also have a number of links to resources, as well as articles and blog posts. Be sure to check out bbfohio.com and to tell others. Our only advertising is by word of mouth. And now we begin with a current events update, and then our study of James chapter 1, verses 5 through 8, titled The Double-Minded Man. This is part 1 of 2.
Current events updates. Let's start with this one. Vatican duplicity. It's SOP. Do you know what that stands for?
Standard Operation
Procedure for the Whore of Babylon, Vatican. They came out with actually a good statement that the Catholic Church cannot give blessings to same-sex unions. That's good. But, you know, like, oh, yay, and everybody, all these Christians are posting this stuff saying, oh, this is great, the Pope's, you know, I saw two or three Christian commentators, the Pope's right on gay marriage. Well, it's true, and you should tell people that, but you should also tell them the whole truth. The Vatican Whore is a picture of the double-minded on this and other matters. It took another sodomite, Elton John, to tell the truth about this. Actually, he said, how can the Vatican refuse to bless gay marriages because they are sin, yet happily make a profit from investing millions in Rocket Man, a film which celebrates my finding happiness from my marriage to David? Okay, that's all true, but don't miss the point. The point is that the Vatican is making millions of dollars supporting the LGBTQ, gay rights, sodomite rights, whatever you want to call it, movement. They're movies. They support all kinds of things. They've also got a priesthood filled with them. And they know it. And they pretend they don't know it. And they pretended for years. And I'm not just talking about the pedophiles, by the way, who are into little boys. But I mean, among themselves, at Vatican City, it's a known fact, they've had brothels. And what have they done about that? Nothing. So, you know, the old saying is, talk is cheap. And that's what you're getting from the Vatican on this stuff. Talk is cheap. The Vatican tactic is twofold, and it's been that way since Constantine. Vatican tactics, number one, you have an official statement. And by the way, how many of you remember Hillary Clinton during the 2016 election? Actually, come around and admit it. She says something in public, but in the private, she has a whole different policy. That's old hat, and that's how the Vatican works. They have an official statement, but then they have what's called a practical contradiction, meaning in practice, they contradict their official statement. And that's what they've been doing. They've always said they're against idolatry, and yet they're the most idolatrous cult on the earth. And so forth. So the point, retain a claim to moral integrity, gaining money and power. That's the point. You retain the claim to moral integrity. It's like those who profess a form of godliness but deny the power thereof. That you can see that in various ways, different levels. 1 Timothy 6:10 says, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. And then 2 Peter 2:3 says, and through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you. Covetous, the Vatican covets power. and they're going to do whatever they can. And what do? They use feigned words. They say they're against gay marriage and all that, but they're making merchandise of everyone they can. Whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. In other words, in God's time, they're as good as doomed. I always refer to our studies in Revelation 17 and 18. We spent 20 hours of study going line by line, verse by verse. By the way, no one who's watched that all the way through has ever contacted me and said, boy, you repeated yourself an awful lot. No. We didn't have to repeat ourselves. There's 20 hours worth of study. And we didn't duplicate or just, spin our wheels. So you can read the history behind it all at archive.org. And by the way, archive.org is a great resource you need to know about. A lot of great material available free of charge. You just bring it up. You can put in the words Vatican Billions and you can read it. This is just a screenshot, so I can't show you. But it has a little thing where you click each page and it turns it for you and everything. You can find classics and everything on there. So just bookmark archive.org is what the website is. Anybody got a comment or anything before we move on? Jenny, could you write this down?
No comment.
This is the first time I think it's ever happened. Yeah. So we'll move on to this sad note. Nationwide Children's Hospital is now in the business of perverting children. This is from Linda Harvey at Mission America. The headline says, did Nationwide Children's Hospital break Ohio law with obscene sex ed in Columbus schools? The answer is yes. Well, whether they'll be held accountable or not is another question. Middle schoolers in Columbus, Ohio city schools are being subjected to abortion advocating, hookup oriented sex education thanks to a federal grant secured by Nationwide Children's Hospital. That same hospital operates a very profitable gender clinic. Did you know they had a gender clinic? That's, by the way, that's child abuse. It's just simple. It's child abuse. It's for minors to push them toward medical mutilation in the vain hope of becoming the opposite sex.
Wow.
I mean, it's criminal. Promoting gender change now is a big part of the chosen curriculum called Get Real. It's a Planned Parenthood developed comprehensive sex ed tool that is not abstinence focused, but is just the opposite. They're basically teaching kids that you should have all the sex you want. You just should make sure you use your condoms and your birth control. And if you get pregnant, kill the baby. That's what the curriculum is. And that is a violation of Ohio's existing abstinence until marriage sex education law. And by the way, that's really oversimplification. They tell kids, you know, the facts of life. Not very many kids need to be told the operation of the sex act, but they do explain that to kids. But what they tell kids is the truth. If you have sex before you, I don't think they use the word marriage, which they should. But if you have sex before you should, we'll just leave that up for interpretation according to the person. But you should wait till marriage. But if you have sex before then, you, number one, can get an STD that you'll have the rest of your life. You can get one that'll kill you. You can then also, that means you get an STD. If you get married later, you're probably going to pass that on to your wife or husband. And then also, you could get pregnant. Then you have to give up a child for adoption or have the child murdered, or you raise that child and it totally changes your life. But you could also pass on your STD to that child, and then you have a child and then you get married. You already got a, you know, on and on it goes. That's what they're teaching with the abstinence until marriage sex education law. But what Planned Parenthood wants to teach is the kids to act like they're animals. That's what they teach them. That's based on the evolutionary concept of being an animal.
Yeah, right.
So another headline I want to discuss here is the fact that the Associated Press now finally admits that lockdowns don't reduce COVID-19 infections and deaths. And there's a really funny meme out there that shows in California they've got all their bodysuits on and they're saying, you know, we might be able to open up things in maybe May or June. Then the next shows Rick DeSanto, governor of Florida, DeSantis, I don't even know his name. He's in a restaurant or a bar or something drinking a beer and everybody's hanging around with him and just laughing and having a good time. You know why that's funny? Because it's true.
Yeah.
The rates in California are no better than in Florida. The only difference is California killed their economy. That's the difference. And in Ohio, our economy would be much better if they followed the science. The science is that masks are ridiculously stupid.
Amen.
Especially when nobody I know wears them properly. If you go into a hospital, the doctors put them on properly and use them, they'll work. Outside of the hospital, I mean, half the people walk around, they're hanging down below their nose, they're touching them dozens of times an hour, they're using the same one all day long. It's a complete waste of time. But the infection rates and everything in Ohio haven't been helped by any of that. And I'll show you something in just a second. But from that article, it says, over the weekend, the Associated Press published this report acknowledging that California and Florida have experienced almost identical outcomes in COVID-19 case rates. Now, listen, folks, California has tried to shut down everything. And they've been suing and fining churches for having services like we're having right now. In Florida, it's been very open. Their economy, like I said, is doing fine. That's what happens when politicians, first of all, the governor of California doesn't have the right to do the things he's doing. Our Constitution does not get suspended whenever there's a bad flu. And regardless of what your news media is telling you right now, this is not any worse than the flu. If you count how many people die and then they test them and find they have COVID, the numbers are high. If you find the people that were actually killed by COVID, it's lower than the flu. That's a fact. And your lying news media will not tell you that. Just keep that in mind. Despite California imposing some of the most draconian lockdown measures in the United States under Democratic Governor Gavin Newsom, and Florida remaining mostly open under Republican Governor Ron DeSantis. And I wish we could say it was just Republicans and Democrats, and that's the issue, but our Republican governor has been about half stupid this whole time. And he's advertising himself constantly wearing that black mask. If you look at his social media, he's got himself with that black mask on. That black mask isn't a medical mask. It's false advertising. And he's leading people astray. Governor DeWine is leading people astray, causing them to think that a cloth mask does anything to protect them. He is just as liable as Cuomo of getting people killed. The only way for you to be protected is if you wear a mask that keeps airborne sprays from going through that mask. And the mask DeWine wears doesn't do that. It's just sad. So Willy Wonka says, how will we know if the vaccine is working? Will the survival rate go from 99.7 to 99.8%? Because you realize that's the survival rate right now. This is nothing. Nothing like a real pandemic. We were at Cracker Barrel because we're racist. Cracker Barrel's racist now, you know that? And like Dr. Seuss. And we were at Cracker Barrel and there's a fellow there and he was really upset about the fact he had to wear a mask to go from where I'm standing to about where Doug and Mark are. There's no scientific basis for that. It's about you submitting. That's what it's about. And he was angry because he's a veteran. And I won't use his language, but he said, I fought so that I wouldn't have to put up with this blankety blank from you people. And he's right. And the majority of Americans are communists at heart. They really want a government to control their every move. And they're ready for it. I just pray it's after the rapture and they can have it. All right. We are in James again. Find Hebrews and you're real close. Hebrews and then James. James chapter 1, we left off verse 4. We're going to pick up verse 5 through 8. A double-minded man. And despite what you might think, this isn't going to have anything to do with Joe Biden. It could, but his is more like a blank-minded man. It's more like All right, I'm going to ask you to read the even number with me, so I'll pick up verse 5 because it is odd. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. All God's people say amen to that. That's the way James is written is similar to the book of Proverbs. And it's sections of a couple of verses or three or four verses that just pound some real important truth. And we begin with a verse that hits us all, if we're honest, I believe. If any of you lack wisdom, I will be the first to raise my hand. Anyone else in here want to admit you lack wisdom at times or most of the time, or if not all the time? Everybody but Doug. So, you know, when this is over, we're going to all gather around. But this is both general and specific. In other words, we shouldn't lack wisdom in a general sense, especially if you've been a Christian for very long, because the Bible is a book of wisdom, the entire book. So if you are in the Word daily as you ought to be, and you're sitting in a Bible teaching as you should be, and you talk about it the way the Bible says we should all talk to each other about the Bible, and, you know, all that, you love the Lord, you're praying and everything, the wisdom will grow. It'll just grow. It will. It just, it's not even, I'm not making a promise. For me, that's a promise of God's Word. Now, I was like 25 years old and had people, this particular lady, I remember, I'll never forget, she comes up and she says, "You have wisdom beyond your years." She only saw me in church. And so I told her, I said, "Now, first of all, any wisdom you see in me, it is from God's Word. I've collected some wisdom from others, you know, my parents and my grandparents and others in my life that, you know, the example of wisdom and all that. But mostly what they have, at some point, you can trace it back to God's Word." And I said, "And outside of this church building where we study the Bible and talk about biblical things and maybe current events, prophecy and some things like that, I can, you know, help you. You want to talk about your investments, your what car to buy, what house to buy, who to marry, those things, I am not even going to answer when you ask me." Don't come to me with that. I'll just tell you the truth. First of all, even if I thought I knew something, unless it's something real obvious, you know, you got a flat tire, I'll tell you to fix it. You know, that's kind of obvious. Amen? But, you know, when it comes to life-changing decisions, you know, I'm going to take care of my life and change my life with decisions, but I don't want that responsibility of your life on me. You marry somebody and I've told you that's the one to marry. Or you buy that house and it ends up being a money pit. You know, I don't want that on me. But I will help you and I'll give you passages in Scripture where you can go and read and meditate and pray on that. That's where you'll get it. If any of you lack wisdom, wisdom begins here. Proverbs 9:10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding." Now, you have to be careful because people will take a verse like John in one of his epistles says, "Perfect love casteth out fear." But you have to look at the context that you shouldn't be fearing your salvation unless you're not saved. But if you are saved, if you have repented toward God with faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ, believing that He died and paid for your sins, He was buried, but He rose again after 3 days. You believe in that. The Bible says you're saved. But that still doesn't mean you don't have a healthy fear of God. Because let me tell you something. There have been Christians do some really bad things. And God will deal with them. As a matter of fact, that's a problem. If you do really bad things and God doesn't chastise you, the Bible says you're a bastard. You're not even His child. So if you're a Christian, you better hope that if you do really bad things, God deals with you like a good father will a child. He'll stop and He'll make them face that. He'll deal with them. And so the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And we compare Scripture with Scripture. I mentioned general and specific. General wisdom is found in God's Word. Look at Proverbs 1, we just quoted. But let's go ahead and turn there real quick. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 1 through 6. Proverbs 1, beginning of verse 1, I'll read as you're turning there. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. Now, verse 2 tells you why the book of Proverbs is written. Read verse 2 with me. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding. So, man, you can't get it advertised any better than that. If you want to have wisdom, book of Proverbs. When I first got saved, one of the best recommendations given to me was read the Gospel of John. And then read James. And in the meantime, every day read one proverb. And so I would actually end my day. I'm not a morning person. And so I would get up and do what I had to do and do whatever, come home. And then before I went to bed, I'd open the Bible and I'd read at least a couple of chapters of John and a proverb. Then when I got through John, I went to James. A couple of chapters of James, which, you know, didn't last long. But
a chapter.
Chapter of Proverbs, what'd I say?
A proverb.
Well, a chapter, you're right. A proverb is one or two verses usually. But the whole book of Proverbs is written for you to know wisdom and instruction. To perceive the words of understanding. Read verse 3. To receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity. Now, I don't have time to go on word by word here, but we could. And talk about how most people today don't even know what these words mean. They don't even know what wisdom is. They don't know what justice is. Judgment, all you hear is, judge not! Which is a lie, because it doesn't just say judge not. It doesn't say judge not, period. You know, there is judgment. There is right judgment. There is equity. Equity does not mean everybody is equal, which is what's going on today with the left wing in this country and their attempt to influence everything with Marxism. Marxism wants everybody to be equal in the sense of equal amount of money, equal living quarters, equal car, equal clothing, everything. When our Declaration of Independence said all men are created equal, it didn't mean equal in everything we own, everything we do. It meant equal in the sense of the law. Equal in opportunity. You should be treated equally. But outcomes vary, and a lot of it's based on the person and whether or not they'll do what's right, they'll work hard, and all that. Jessica, what do you want to...
Well, those up above, like those in higher places or in leading leadership or government, they don't want you to be equal to them.
Well, it's according to which ones you're talking about. I mean, there are some politicians who their desire is to not take all of your money, to let you keep your money, to give you freedom and liberty and all that. But there's a growing number of politicians today who want to take that away from you. Johnny?
The interesting metaphor of monopoly, how it actually starts where everyone has the exact same amount. And how quickly, very quickly, everybody is very different.
Yeah, there's examples where they've tested that, and they've given everybody the same amount of money, same opportunity and everything, but there's always that one guy who end up with it all. And everybody else has just a little. And, you know, if you want to protect everybody from losing their money by not being wise with their money, then that takes communism, and you've got to destroy freedom, and you've got to destroy the free market, and you've got to destroy the things that make America what it is. And that's what the left wing in this country is doing, but we won't get into all that. Verse 4 says, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. There are two people in that verse that normally do foolish things, the simple and the young. As simple is a nice word for someone who's just not smart. And Well, the Word of God will help that person. It'll help them not be as foolish, at least. And the young, that's when you have somebody come up and say, yo, you've got wisdom beyond your years. Well, what are they seeing? In most cases, they're seeing somebody who's living by the Word of God. Of course, even the founding fathers, we talk about this, like Benjamin Franklin, Thomas Jefferson, people like that, who weren't even born-again Christians, didn't believe the Bible was even necessarily God's Word, but they believed it was a book of wisdom. And so they lived by its principles. And it showed. Then verses 5 and 6 say, a wise man will hear and will increase learning. And a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. That's the difference. You want to be wise, you've got to be listening. You've got to be willing to take in God's Word and receive wise counsel from others. If you're not willing to do that, then you will not be wise. You will not be a man of understanding. And then it closes again. Look how many times every...